As you're sitting here now, I'd like you to think about something, if you could, with me for just a moment. This is not the preaching time. This is not the sermon. This is something we're going to do together for the next couple of minutes, okay? I'd like you to think, don't look at anybody else, just think, you took this morning, didn't you, to come here to church? You could have slept in, you know. You could have gone next door and registered for the new volleyball season and gotten in on the clinics this morning if you like to do that kind of thing. Or, no, you got up. Some of us set an alarm to get here this morning, correct? Okay. With that said, apparently there's a certain measure of why you feel you need to be here this morning. Apparently there's something about this group of people that you keep coming back to, the body of Christ, this fellowship, that you feel like if you miss this, you feel like you missed something. You understand what I'm talking about, don't you? Okay. In your mind right now, think, why is this church fellowship, why is this fellowship so important? Got to think, got to close your eyes, got to do whatever, let the marbles run back and forth. Why is this church fellowship so important? Have you got it wrapped around a word or a phrase in your mind? Have you got it figured out yet? Do you? Everybody got an idea? So we're not done. There's more to go with this. Just shake your head or look at me in the eye if you've got it figured out. At least one, maybe two things. Okay? A few of us have got that? Okay, good. Crystallize that answer down to a phrase or a word. You got it? Everybody got it? Okay, everybody's kind of there. All right, let's have some fun with this. Now, what I'd like you to do is stand. Okay? I'd like you to stand. Thank you. And now what I would like you to do is have greeting time with each other. And as part of saying hi, good to see you, et cetera, et cetera, as part of doing that right now, I want you to be able to share with another person or two the very reason you're here, why this is so important. Whatever it is, no explanation, don't got to go far with it, just drop the word or phrase on the people you're greeting with during the next couple of minutes. Got it? Everybody, go, greet each other. Okay, we're going to ask you to find your seat. We gave you a little extra time so you could talk to each other. Interesting observations of people. This is how we get to know each other. I actually saw several people introducing themselves to each other. I thought that was interesting. Although vital, but I thought it was interesting. That's great. Everybody find their seat? Hopefully in the middle of that you heard a little bit from another person, maybe about why the fellowship is so important, why being part of the body of Christ is important. Last week on this about this time, we talked about fellowship with God, and we said that this week we talk about fellowship with each other, which is very interesting. And so you heard something. How many here heard something from somebody else? Not what you said, but what they said that was a reason that the fellowship is important to them. Anybody want to share good and loud? Okay, put your hand up. I'll point at you. You can start. You can talk real loud. I want to hear what you heard. I want to hear what you heard. David. Okay, this is like a family to me. Keep that in the back of your mind as we do this morning's scripture. Kind of a large family, but it kind of works out that way. Anybody else? Hand up. There we go, Florence. Keeps her on track. Okay, I like that. The body should have that role in my life. It does. Back there, Glenn.
I heard fellowship.
Fellowship. Whatever that means, although we'll cover that a little bit this morning. But, okay, fellowship. And I agree with that. Yes? Okay, Brenny, this is where God wants them to be. I like that. I like that. Works out. Bob, hand up. No, it was your wife. Karen? To hear the word of God. Yeah, if you've put three and three together yet, you've figured out that this church has got an undying and unwavering commitment to teach the Scripture. Doesn't seem all that complex, but that's what we do. That's what we seek to do. By the way, we're becoming more of a minority out there as far as churches that do that. Less and less have got that commitment. Other things have entered in. Okay, anybody else want to share? What'd you hear? This is interesting. Beth?
Getting in tune with God.
Getting in tune with God. Yeah, this church does, no matter where you're at, seems to continually call me to be in tune with God. Whether it's you personally that are doing it or whoever's got the mic up here and there and we're teaching, it just seems that I'm constantly helping me stay in tune or get in tune with God. My attitude's not right, et cetera, et cetera. Good. Anybody else hear anything you want to share that was out of the box? Crazy. Fun. Okay, good. I was wondering how random it could get. Kathy?
Accountability.
Accountability? Yeah, I like that a lot. Accountability. Beth?
Can I go twice?
Sure you can.
Someone said to be set
apart. I like that one too. You really are different than the majority of people this Sunday morning who've chosen to do a lot of other things other than give the Lord an hour of time. Woo! A whole hour of time when right now you could be at the beach. There's stuff to do out there. You know that. Okay, with that said, let's stand. We're going to sing a song that I think is one of the more contemporary hymns of the church. Wouldn't you say that, Tara? Kind of a contemporary hymn?
Victory.
No, not that. Okay, good. He knows how I feel about that. Okay. Let's stand, let's worship together and enjoy our fellowship together. Tyler? Phil, if you would stand with outlines and all those important things. If you did not get an outline this morning, this is the second part of a sermon that began last week. And just put your hand up politely. He'll see you, I think, and get you a copy. Phil, there's some folks over here that need it. If you do that, I appreciate that. Thank you very much. Hopefully you're keeping notes. You can put a great compendium of things together. Starting this fall, we're going to be studying verse by verse 1 Peter. And you might want to consider keeping those notes together when that's all done. You'll have a great little study section on 1 Peter, like you've maybe never had before. By the way, that won't get done until 2019. But you can start it this fall, which would be kind of fun, add to the collection. And this morning is really not about a sermon. I don't think it's more like a talk about me and you. It's more like a talk about us and what we do and what we're doing here and why we're doing it. And I'm going to be honest with you. Last week we studied fellowship with God, and that was fun to talk about. I just wish the Scripture would allow me to escape people sometimes. Life would be so much easier. People get in the way of stuff. And I thought we'd start off this morning with doing something. People get in the way of me doing even, honestly, the godly stuff. I thought we'd start off this morning with having a little talk with each other. And I want you to answer one question. And I debated whether to do this or not. And then I thought, oh, why not? Let's do this. Let's just see what happens. So listen, it's imperative that you be able to be within earshot of somebody else right now. Because I'm going to give you a minute back and forth with each other to say whatever you want. Watch your language, okay? But to say whatever you want to each other, and I'd like you to share back and forth the answer to this question. How do people bother you the most? Okay? Ready, set, go. Talk to each other. How do people bother you the most? How do people bother you? About 30 seconds left of this. How do people bother you? Okay, wrap it up. For some reason, there was a lot of smiling and laughing over this one. And I don't know what's so funny about it, because we're talking about people bothering you. There should be a little bit of attitude behind this. People bother me because they... No, I wasn't asking for a response yet. Okay, that's not what I'm here for. Okay, wow. All right. Okay, let's fill in the blank. What bothers you about them?
Lying.
They lie. You really think so?
No.
I'm just checking that. I want to see how committed you were to your answer. All right. Give me a hand. Put a hand up if you want to answer. What did you hear? Janie, what did you hear?
How about rude?
Rude. People are not rude. Okay. You take a 5-minute ride on one of our highways in the area, and you will see nothing but graciousness and kindness exhibited between drivers of cars. That's all I ever see. It's amazing how polite they are. David? Oh! I've got a few neighbors like that. They will tell me the latest ache, the latest pain, the latest something, and the latest pills they're taking for them, or therapy they're going for.
They basically just don't like old
Yeah, that's right. Huh? I'll join them. There we go. All right. What else did you hear? What else bothers you about people? Oh, hold it. Kira, I cannot let this moment pass. Kira put her hand up, and I can't wait to hear what this is. Okay, Kira, lay it on me.
In gymnastics, everybody, all the kids, running past on the railway.
That's inconsiderate, isn't it? That's not polite, right? How old are you? At 8 years old, you're running into impolite people. Hard to believe. Okay, what else we got? Yes, ma'am.
Well, this is like a work fit, too. Pizza don't come
with cheese. Amazing what level of how people bother you. That's great. Okay. Come on, well, how else do people bother you? Let's have it, Jerry.
Interruptions.
Okay. Okay. I didn't say nothing. I just kind of pointed. You guys figure it out. Okay, good. Yes. Okay. Ideas that you might not espouse.
No, just
listen. Okay, we'll let it go with that. Dennis? I was with a bunch of 30-year-olds a week and a half ago at a function. Spent a few days together, etc. And they started to grow up. Not once, not twice, there, and probably four times. They went through a bunch of grump episodes about the millennials. And I was just like, and I could not believe the stuff they were saying about the generation just under them. I just cheered it on. It was fun. It was fun to listen to. And oh so true, by the way, and had to do with technology. Okay. Anybody else want to share? Tyler. Okay. People drive slow in a left lane, which allows you to be inconsiderate. Knock them off the road and keep going, right? That's good. Glenn? Okay, well, traffic issues are everywhere. Listen, I made a short list, and it was easy. I didn't have to think twice about it. It was about cars and about roads. And how is even two people on the road? How could somebody get behind me right on my bumper with just the two of us on the same road? How could that be? People's attitudes. People's attitudes of superiority. When I know in my heart they're not superior. They're personalities. Well, yeah, that sounded terrible, didn't it? Okay. Their personalities, which, by the way, a lot of people don't have the nice personalities that me and you do. Have you noticed? Okay, you've noticed that. How about people's egos on display everywhere? How about their wants and desires besides and before mine? How many times? I did something the other day I've never done before. I was stopping back from this trip that I was talking about. I didn't know how to take this. I stopped at like a gas station, but I went inside because I wanted to get myself something to drink because I'd been around, I deserve something to drink. I'm going to get me something to drink in here. So I needed to get a cold iced tea out of the refrigerator. And I got to check out, and there was a lady behind me, middle-aged lady, and she had a big drink like this, one of those 70 ounces or more. And she says to me, she goes, "Hey, buddy." And she's a little lady, too. And she said, "Hey, buddy, you're wasting your money on that. You go back there and you get yourself one of these because today on Sunday only they're 59 cents. And it was like a half a gallon of soda, all right? And I think to myself, I can't put that in my body, but okay, thank you very much. And so I turned back towards the register to indicate to her that I was done with this conversation. And I turned to her and she tapped me on the shoulder and she said, "Hey, I'm not kidding. I'll hold the line for you. You go back and get one of these things, and you, that thing you're getting is no good." And I turned to her and I was like, "That's very kind. Thank you." I was nice as could be, and you know that I am, right? Okay. And I turned my back to her for the third time, indicating to her, this conversation is over. By the way, guys, this doesn't work at home when you're talking with your wife, nor does it work online with a woman who wants to do this to you. She hits me on the shoulder again, this time with the drink, and taps me and says, "You can get one of these over there for 59 cents on Sunday. It'll last you all day." And I'm thinking, if I do that, I'll be spending all day in the rest areas on the way down the highway. Fact of the matter is, we get up there to check out. I put my drink up there, and I said to the cashier, I said, "And her drink, too." And she just looked at me, and she said this, nobody has ever been kind to me like that. And I'm thinking, it's a 59-cent drink. Go get yourself another one. I'll show you incredible kindness. And the whole time I was paying, she waxed on and on and on about kindness. And people are so rude to her, but this is the kindest thing anybody's ever done to her. I went back out to my car and thought that I'd clean the windows of my car. I left it by the gas pumps. I go to clean my car, and she's in the car next to me. And she's yapping to her friend, but doesn't know I can hear it. And she's saying, this guy in there paid for my drink. It was the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. And I'm thinking, oh, you poor lady, you've got to be at least 50 years old, and this is the best thing that's ever happened to you? You know what? That just proved to me that small things get seen and get observed. And it fits under our discussion of fellowship this morning. You got your notes out? I want you to write down what fellowship means literally, and we'll take it from there. Fellowship means this. It means to have in common. It means total sharing. You know what it really means? It means what I have, you have. You catch that? What I own, you own. And I can't get around this, but God designed this aspect of the body of Christ, the church, that we would function this way. That what I have, you have. That what I've got, you've got access to. So I want you to make a couple of notes on your outline there about this fellowship. And I want you to notice this, that it's a real consequence of our walk in fellowship with God that we talked about last week. By the way, the two are connected. Listen to me carefully. You cannot go like this. I am in perfect fellowship with God, and you can go stick it in your ear. You can't do those type things. You can't say, I am in fellowship with the Holy God of the universe through Jesus Christ, and you know what? Too bad for you. I don't feel your hurt, I don't feel your pain, and I'm not going to help you when you desperately need it. But I am in love with the God of the universe. He's got these things connected that fellowship with Him equals fellowship with each other. And you know what? In certain places, I would say some inflammatory statements I'm going to make this morning. Here's the first one. The first one is this. Our fellowship with each other might actually be the test or proof of our fellowship with God. It's inflammatory. You can take that a lot of different directions. I'm just going to let that one lay the way it is. Our fellowship with each other, or how we fellowship with each other, might actually be one of the tests or proofs for our relationship or fellowship with God. And it has to be that our walk with God must be in order, and then our fellowship with each other is in order. So this morning, you got your Bible. It's going to come up on the screen right here. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. Before I go into a whole other area here, I'm going to let Matt come up in a minute, but before he does, I've asked him to do several things this morning. Because this scripture, I have heard no less, Matt, than half a dozen sermons from, including maybe me early on in my ministry life. And the fact of the matter is, I have taken this scripture and done some very bad things with it. And I have heard some incredible guilt sermons come out of this scripture, which I think almost everybody knows this scripture. But I have heard guilt sermons come out of this to the point I have walked out of church and thought to myself, I'm just a jerk. I am so much less than what I'm supposed to be. And now you're wondering, what in the world are we going to do here this morning? So here's what I asked Matt to do. I asked Matt to come up and read the scripture for us. No, stop right there. But what I also asked Matt to do was to turn the page back. At least in my Bible, it's a page backwards. And boy, some fantastic stuff went on before this with Peter preaching. Peter, not educated in a theological institution, Peter gets up and does some amazing speaking to the group of people right after the Holy Spirit had come. And that event of the preaching and the response leads to this scripture here. You need to see it in context and flow. That's what Matt's going to help us do right now. Come on up here, Matt. And he's also going to read the scripture.
Well, I'll tell you, he may not have had formal theological education, but I would turn in my degrees to listen to Jesus teach for an hour. I think I'd have a better education, so no problem. Yes, this sermon, fascinating. We go back. All right, let's look at the context. Pentecost has come. The Holy Spirit has filled everyone to dwell in them permanently. We can see later in the New Testament that the writers refer to this moment as the day that the church, i.e. the body of Christ, the body of the Messiah, was born. We rightfully see this as the creation of the New Testament church, created on this very day. And as they're filled with the Holy Spirit, they get very excited, overwhelmed with joy. I hope that's happened to you. And some of the Jewish people there who weren't believers were like, "What's wrong with you? Are you drunk?" So, and of course, Peter's like, "Not at all. Don't you know that?" And he starts this sermon, and he starts talking, and first he quotes Joel. That's interesting. He quotes Joel, and he says, "In these last days it shall be, God declares it, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams," and so on and so on. Now, this is fascinating because he says, in the last days? That was 2,000 years ago. What is he talking about? Yeah, this actually tripped me up when I was younger. But it's actually really simple. There's this just concept that meaning the last period of time. It should be like last age before the Messianic age, when Jesus rules on the earth, when the Messiah rules on the earth. So what the Jews were finding out was, you just thought the Messiah would come and just crush the Roman Empire and rule. But that's, he says, but the prophets are clear that there would be a period of time after the Messiah died, and yet before he returned. And that's where we are right now. That's what we're operating in right now. We're doing this great, amazing goal together. We have this great mission together as the Holy Spirit empowers us and fills us. And we see more of that. He also quotes Psalm 110 towards the end. And we see in verse 34, Peter says, "For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool.'" That word "until." So Jesus goes up into the heavenlies. He sits down beside his Father until his enemies are made his footstool. What's the idea? The idea is that there is, again, this period of time before the Lord rules in righteousness and absolute control on the earth. So, in other words, all of this was like in preparation. They were in this great age. They were participating in this great moment in history that had just begun, the final age before Jesus reigns on the earth. And so, we see that the church is born, and what's the first thing that Peter does? He preaches a sermon. I'll tell you what, I'm a big proponent of small groups and fellowship and relationships, and yet I think everything has to be done in balance. We sometimes see that sermons are almost relegated as almost meaningless in some churches. I think sometimes they're too overemphasized. But isn't it interesting, the first thing the church does, we have a sermon after the church is born. Now, it's just interesting because there's a power to God's word. There's an incredible power. They were cut to their hearts. And this sermon was for the brethren there, but it was also evangelized to those non-believers. And when they heard a good, poignant sermon, by the way, I bet you wish Pastor Mike and I's sermons were this short. I mean, just a couple paragraphs. Quotes from the text. "You should believe this. This is what God's word says." And then you know what? 3,000 of them were saved. And that is the overall background and context for this passage. "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all, as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved."
Thank you, Matty. Appreciate that. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this whole context of the church being born, people coming to Christ like large numbers, and then, Father, their activities afterwards are just unbelievable. Father, I pray that you would challenge us this morning by your word, for it's in Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. Got your notes out? Let's get going here. What was going on here? Well, it's point number two from last week's sermon, and that is this: fellowship with each other. That's what we're talking about this morning. These people, because of Jesus Christ, different backgrounds, different families, different folks they listen to, different life experiences, now shared a common spirit. We get that, don't we? The Holy Spirit, a common faith, a common salvation, all through Jesus Christ. They belong to each other. Not just on the outside that they were now part of the church, but on the inside they were part of the church. And there's a sermon right there we're not going to touch. And they were also part of a new community of people that was unlike any other community that existed out there. They were distinctively different. And because of the overwhelming sense, and I don't know what it was like for you, whatever it was like for you when you first came to Christ, but there was this overwhelming, washing sense of, wow, that's fantastic. I can't believe that happened. And as it happened to them together, they had a reaction. Listen to me. Here's where the bad teaching takes place in regards to this. This behavior is not written in such a way that it's a command to us. The sermons I have heard where this scripture teaches poor stuff, the sermons used to motivate you to hold it, not miss church, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, or to the fellowship, breaking of bread, which is communion and meals, and to prayers. That was the motivation to guilt you into being here all the time. Because I got to guilt you into being here all the time. And that's where the bad sermons have come from. But listen, this is a reaction. This is not commanded that this is how you're to be now that you're in Christ. But it does also maybe point to some stuff of, here's how we react because of Christ. Because these people had found their true love. They were enjoying fellowship with Christ for the first time, realizing for the first time that I finally have got a hand on it and I know where I'm going after this life. And my life now matters for something here more than it did before. This is an optimum and fantastic situation. And on your notes there, I want you to see the results to verse 42. That they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayers. They devoted themselves to it, and there's a result of that. Some results you should make note of. Note in the next verse down, verse 44, and they believed together and had things in common. That's a mutual love and a mutual community. I'm going to call it a new community was formed, unlike any other. Notice also, you can't miss this. When you get to verse 47, the Lord added to their number day by day. In fact, the thing that started this was 3,000 people responded to Peter's sermon, and 3,000 people that day came to know Christ. There was numerical growth. There was inner growth, and there was numerical growth. Okay, here comes inflammatory statement number two. But let me say it anyway. These are the marks of a healthy church, that there's growth. This is what tells you if a church is sick and unhealthy and maybe even die. And oh, by the way, this week, hundreds and hundreds of churches across America alone closed their doors and died. I believe some because God divinely appointed them to die, and others because they just died and withered. The fact of the matter is, a healthy church does show mutual love and growth on the inside and in the outside. And when it doesn't exist, you might have a sick church. The reality is this stuff happened because these folks gave of themselves personally to make this kind of thing happen with each other. In fact, in today's age, we think when we're blessed, or we think when we're part of a church, or when I say to somebody, are you involved with your church? They'll say something like this to me. You know, when the plate was passed, and we pass baskets, but you get the idea. When the plate was passed on Sunday, I did put a 10 spot in there. I've had people tell me this for years. And 10 or 20, oh my, they want to be anointed the next whatever because they put a 20 in the offering plate. And I get told that. And the reality is a lot of folks think today that I am involved with church because I put my cash there. And that's just part of it. In fact, the truth of the matter is, if I was really involved with church, I would say this, inflammatory statement number three, I have put all my cash there. Not for us to hold, but I put it all there. In fact, not only that, everything I own, I have made available to those people at that church as they might have need. Because they're part of my family. And I got to tell you something, I would do anything for my family. Inflammatory statement number four. Okay, good. I'm going to stop keeping count, but get the idea, all right? There's so much in here to say that guilts people into doing things improperly. But I believe this has more to say about me or us on the inside. If you're writing some of these down, these might be worth getting. If I am in fellowship with God, then my fellowship with others is about me giving of myself. It may be putting some money in. I give you that. But it may be me, and it's about me, being genuinely involved with another person. Hold it. Stop. This group's easy. You can see each other. For the most part, we know each other's name. But what about? Just what about because you know each other and you feel like it's family and you feel like this is the place you want to be because it gives me that feeling that I don't get somewhere else. And that's great. But what about when you notice the one person this morning and they're just not quite right? I don't mean the average just not quite right. I mean noticeably not quite right. Like a little bit off. And you can tell, and here's the word, something's bothering them. You can tell something's just not exactly where it should be. Do you pursue it? Do you say, I'm available to you? Do you say, you know what, I'll meet with you this week? Do you say, hey, you want to talk right now? You want to step outside or go in a back room? Do you want to spend a minute here and talk? You can read people like I can. And you can tell when maybe it's time to step it up a little bit and be involved in somebody's life, because this is about me. Keep taking the notes. This is about me who is feeling another's pain and grief and tears. And there's people all through here that feel pain, grief, and tears. They come in waves, some bigger than others, but we're all going through life experience where things just plain old hurt. This is about me reacting out of my fellowship with God and then giving out what He's given of me. And it might not be a check. It might be me giving of me available to you so that we together can get through a certain situation that you're hurting over. And then you do the same thing with me. You come alongside me and help me walk through it. You give me of the resources of your time and your talent and your personality and your energy to help me get through a situation. By the way, let me make an observation about this. I can point, this is a discussion for Matt and I. Oh, by the way, coming up in a couple weeks, we're going to start HD study on Thursday nights. And we're covering the book of Acts word by word, cover to cover on Thursday nights. If you want to get in on a really what I would consider hot study at the very ground floor, this is going to be the one. Everybody in here has read Acts and knows what's going on. But we will cover this the night, one of those nights coming up. When do you think we get to this, Matt? January, February? February, okay, good. Okay. But when we get to this, I want you to take note and ask the question, hey, this sounds really cool. This sounds like this was doing it. This was the ticket. The church was really growing. Hold it. How come it didn't keep happening? How come it stopped? In fact, I go a little bit further on, and it's very obvious that it stopped. I get to the Corinthian church, and it stopped cold. What was going on? Great question for Matt and I and you guys to discuss with us. Hold it. Thursday nights at 7 o'clock, and it's September in there. HD study. You want to get involved in an intimate, really cool study, it's the place to be. And I believe that we have a lot of fun too, right? Okay, good. Just making sure. Okay, I'll pay you guys later for saying that, all right? I want you to notice this new community was the church. I wanted to give you a quote right here. I don't know if you want to write it down, but listen to this. This quote by a good writer said this. We, the church, are the only institution on earth able to give meaningful answers to the emptiness and self-deception of this culture. Listen, we the church are the only institution on earth, that's quite a statement, able to give meaningful answers to the emptiness and self-deception of this culture. See, believers today are caught up. What are we caught up in? We're caught up in what they're caught up in. I'm caught up getting my name in the paper. I'm caught up getting the bigger promotion at my job. I'm caught up in going after the cash, because we all know the one who gets the most cash is the one who's most valuable. And the one who gets the most cash is getting the most honor. And I'm hoping to go after that Rolex watch at the 10-year mark in my company. I'm becoming a somebody. I now manage 150 people. How many times do you hear somebody say this? I had a job offer for a lot more money over there. But as I prayed about it to the Lord and realized my commitment to this body, I realized I wanted to stay here and be an elder or a deacon or a teacher or a discipler. How many times do you hear stories like that? It's rare. I've known a few people that have done it. And I've just stared and looked and said, how could you do that? And at the same time, I've had people tell me, I'm taking that job and moving to that place because, yeah, it's more money, but God's opening more doors for me there in that position, in that place, to share Christ and to do what I have to do. Both of those can be true at the same time. The truth of the matter is this, is that our lifestyle, while we think it's important, is not as important. Status, position, not as important. We forgo those things to serve this body and do whatever it takes. And I aim to serve to make others' life better, and much more peaceable. And by demonstrating this and doing this, I'm demonstrating the fact that I'm walking with God. I walk with God as I seek to walk with people. So, this can be summarized this way. My lifestyle of fellowship. Listen to me. My lifestyle of fellowship. Our lifestyle as a church in fellowship with each other is actually a dynamic witness for Jesus Christ. You know why? Because it's a genuine thing. People crave real stuff. You've got something going on in here that most people out there don't get to experience. And most people out there are craving for. And yet we casually show up on a Sunday, like, oh yeah, see a couple friends, have a couple donuts, everything's cool. Without realizing that underneath, we're having fellowship with each other and caring for each other. And theoretically, we've got to have each other's out of our ways to help each other out. That's what our fellowship does, all because I have fellowship with God. So what does this mean? Make some ending notes on your paper, if you will. It means this, that I need to be sensitive and have an open heart to be personally involved by giving of myself and maybe even my resources. And one of my resources is myself. I might not have much money, but I've got myself that I can offer you. I can meet with you. I can care for you. But no, I can't make your house payment. Get the idea? Let me keep going with a list of what it means, okay? It means that I treat my stuff and my very being as God's stuff. I treat my stuff as God's stuff. I need to picture myself as a manager of the stuff He's given to me, including my very life and my time, and let Him direct me on how to use it and spend it. I let Him lead me to others that He would have me to be involved with. And I realize once again that God has chosen to act through me on this earth, in this culture, at this time, for His purpose. That's what it means to be in fellowship with each other. It's almost like this. Can I do this for you? I like to act things out. The kids like this more than anything else, okay? I'm on the prowl. And you think this is funny, don't you? Okay, good. As long as there's no video, we're good. And I've got my antenna up. And I'm observing. I'm listening. I'm observing. And I'm listening. And I'm paying attention to those around me. So that if somebody around me was really in need, I could pick it up. If they say it, I get it. But if somebody around me was genuinely in need, I would pick it up and be able to zero in on them because of the fellowship that's described right here. Do you got that? That's an awesome way to come to church. When you're in the shower, and I know what it's like on a Sunday morning, you're just blindly showering out of habit, for you to pray, Lord, I'm going to Candlewood this morning, and I'm going there, I'm going to look for the people that You would have me to be in connection with today and this week. Who needs me? That's the attitude of fellowship. Would you bow with me right now? And as you bow in your head, you know, it might be time. We don't just throw these sermons out for fun. We study this scripture with real earnestness. It might be time to reorder your life. Me to reorder my life around what God has called me to do right here and right now. And as part of this fellowship, from this time forward, I wonder if you and me need to commit or recommit to having fellowship with each other. We know what it's like to have fellowship with God, and we earnestly strive for that every single day, to have a pure fellowship between me and Him. But maybe it's time to ramp this up, to have an equal commitment to having fellowship with each other where God has placed us right now. Hey, if your fellowship quotient's been lacking or commitment's been lacking, now's the time to say, from this time forward, I'm going to be looking. I'm going to be on the prowl that I might be in the fellowship and active in the fellowship and actively about the fellowship with these people. Father, I do thank You for Candlewood, for what You continue to do here, for the lives You continue to grow here and stretch. But I would pray more than anything else this morning, Father, thanking You for the fellowship we have with You, but praying that we might truly seek to be in fellowship with each other, and whatever that means. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.